from the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It's the 28th day of October, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. And K-State's Mike Wolverton will join us to take up today's agricultural energy markets. USDA has updated the October crop production and WASD reports midstream. That happened at 7:30 Central Time. The agency says the FSA database fed out some bad acreage figures for that last set of reports. And some of those extra acres our analyst couldn't believe were there aren't there. It changed things a bit, but not much. We'll have the lowdown. And then the USDA statisticians in Illinois, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Indiana will tell us how the harvest is progressing in their states. Hey, and in just 26 minutes, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us on a beautiful Midwestern afternoon for the Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL, that's public radio, from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Taking a look now at the numbers as they settled in Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon. Futures like this. Nearby December wheat at $5.14, down 15 and a half cents. The March at $5.34, down 15. And the May contract at $5.47 and a half, 14 and a quarter lower. December corn futures, $3.90 and three quarters of a cent, 5 and a half higher. March contract up 6 cents at $4.08 and a quarter. And the May at $4.20, up 6 and a quarter. July futures in the corn pit at $4.30 and three quarters, up 7 and a half cents for the day. November soybeans at $8.78 and three quarters, down 14 and a quarter. The January at $8.88, 9 and a half cents lower. March soybeans $8.99 and three quarters, down 8 and a quarter. And the May futures at $9.09 and three quarters, down 7 cents. December bean meal futures at $2.66.80, down $9.50. December bean oil at $31.88, 16 higher. October live cattle futures, $89.75, 82.5 higher. December at $88, 87.5, a dime higher. October feeders, 35 cents lower at $95.55. The November at $95.42.5, down 12.5. And December lean hog futures for the day settled at $58 and a nickel, down 50 cents on the afternoon. The February contract at $64.45. down 20 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. December crude oil, $62.45 the last trade, 77 cents lower. The November ethanol at $1.72 and 2 tenths, up 2 and 2 tenths. Natural gas trading at $6.20 and a half, 8 and 4 tenths higher on the day, and the RBOB gasoline at $1.45 and 9 tenths, down a penny and 7 tenths. November heating oil at $1.92, that's diesel fuel, just about unchanged on the day. November propane at 94 cents has not traded. A gold futures October contract, $7.39 and 30, that's down $2.40. November there at $739.30 an ounce, down $2.40 as well. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average is now just about 464 points higher at 86.39. The U.S. dollar currently trading at 87.23, is down 0.03 for the afternoon. And the Goldman Sachs at 425.82 is down 1.34 for the day. A freeze warning is in effect for far southern Illinois and southwestern Indiana. That from 1 a.m. to 9 a.m. on Wednesday. A freeze watch is in effect for far central and most of southern Indiana late tonight into tomorrow morning. Ed Kieser says tonight across the two-state region in the north and east central parts of Indiana should be mostly cloudy, elsewhere clear to partly cloudy. Lows today will range from 24 in some northern and central Illinois locations to 32 in the far south and near Lake Michigan. Of course, that's for this evening. In the northern and east central parts of Indiana should be partly sunny, says Ed. Elsewhere, mostly sunny. Highs will range from 46 in northeastern Indiana to 62 in the southwestern parts of Illinois. A prolonged period of dry weather expected, says Ed, for the rest of the week, favoring a resumption of harvest operations. The models don't show any significant rainfall before late Tuesday of the next week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
WILL programs are made possible by the iCorn.com Seeds of Knowledge Video Scholarship Contest. Farmers nominate students who make a 90-second video and compete for a share of $30,000 in college scholarships from iCorn.com. More information is available online at iCorn.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Tuesday afternoon. Time to check in on the agricultural futures markets and the commodities trade. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, is on the line with us this afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd. I just want to know where you put those 300,000 acres of grain that we had just about 15 days ago.
Oh, you mean the ones in Iowa? Or?
No, there was 200,000 acres of corn that you guys lost over there and 100,000 acres of beans that you lost. And I just wondered where you put them.
Oh, yeah, total for Illinois. I don't know. I don't know where we lost them to. That was an interesting report that came out from USDA this morning, and maybe we ought to start with that. And you have both sets of numbers there. I only have the corn numbers in front of me because those are the ones I brought in. I've got the total number. But let's go through the acreage that was lost this morning. USDA says that there was a transport, we'll call it a transport problem, from one computer to the other, from FSA through the network system that they use it to get to USDA, and they updated acreage figures, and because of that, the WASDE numbers were updated, and so were the crop production numbers this morning at 7:30. In total, for corn, USDA lost 1 million acres. Now, our analysts last time around thought that the numbers looked fairly high for both corn and soybeans and were wondering how they managed to gain that many acres. But here's where they lost the acres. All of the losses came across the northern part of the United States and the bulk of the Corn Belt. In fact, all the top five corn-growing states are included in the losses. 50,000 acres in North Dakota, 50,000 acres in South Dakota, 100,000 acres in Nebraska, 100,000 acres in Minnesota, 300,000 acres of corn in Iowa, all lost. 200,000 acres of Illinois. We say lost, but they didn't exist to begin with, apparently. 200,000 in Illinois, 100,000 in Indiana, 50,000 in Michigan, 100,000 in Ohio, and 20,000 acres in Pennsylvania. So just about 1 million acres in total of corn was lost by USDA. And so they realized not long, I guess, after the release, I think it was about 6 days after the October 10 release, that they figured out that there was something wrong. Then they had to get the folks in and try to figure out whether it was actually a statistical error, something was wrong, or it just actually moved across the system correctly. But they've updated it now, Wayne.
Yes, they have.
And those numbers have changed. And what did the trade think about this morning?
Well, first off, you know, in the overnight, which wasn't announced till late in the afternoon, left a lot of guys not even realizing there was going to be a report this morning, which we would fault the government very highly on that. Generally, we like to have a day or two to get positioned for a report to come out as a trader. We opened on the highs of the day and eroded after that with some pressure from some of the index funds selling all through the day, Todd, and you know, I think that one of the things that is good along the way is we did lower our exports on both because we knew that that was a very good possibility in our next report. And I think this sort of tells us, you know, that maybe there wouldn't be much shock with some of this already coming out of there. And once we get the stock market to straighten out a little bit, well, maybe this will help us build a little better base for the corn and beans to move up from.
Let's see. So we did lower the exports on corn, and I've got the numbers for the beans, too. But let's go through the corn numbers. We were looking at exports of, what, $2 billion, and now we're $50 million below that at $19.50 for today. And did we change anything else? Did we change ethanol demand? No, we did not change the ethanol demand. Domestic usage was down 50.
Feed residual.
Yeah, feed residual was down. So there were some changes. And as it ends up, that means the ending stocks went from $1.154 billion, and this is probably the important number, to just $1,088,000,000 bushels in carry out. That leaves us a stocks-to-use ratio of 8.6, and the average market price for corn was upped by a nickel from 420 to 420 to 520 with a range to 425 to 525. So the impact is big but not great, I suppose. Is that a proper way to put it?
I mean, that's the way we reacted today, Todd. We added a nickel to the average price, and we were up 5.5 to 6 cents today. So I guess that actually, when it was all said and done, the government figured the average price a little better than they did everything else along the way.
Maybe so. If we were at $2 corn, a nickel would be a big deal, wouldn't it?
That's right.
All right. So let's talk about what's happening in the marketplace at this time. Are we getting more satisfied that with the global economy may turn around or at least stop its skid at this point?
Well, as we look at the Dow Jones right now, the DEAST Dow is up 604 points. I think that we are getting some stability here. We're starting to see some of the government money flow into the banks and hopefully pick up some of this capital funds to help finance small business and get that going. Our consumer confidence report today was way below what we were looking for, but I think that I would have to say we are starting to see some signs of stability, but we've got a long, long road to go to get this economic picture for the world, or the U.S., let alone the world, taken care of, Todd. And there's going to be a lot of ups and downs along the way. And one of them, I think, is going to be stabilizing crude oil along the way. Are you a feeling a person that it can go down to 48, 58, or rebound back up to 85, and I think that is going to tell us where the corn market's going to go, because the extra bushels that we use and pushes the price up is the ethanol bushels.
All right, and then tell me what you think about the bean market at this time.
Bean market, very disappointing today after being up 50 cents overnight to close the January down 9.5 cents today. I think that we still have a lot, or we have had and been pressured along the way by index fund selling, and I think that was the case today again that took the bloom off the beans and the rally and the idea of the million less acres, Todd. So I think somewhere down the road here, and we hope, by the time the election's over next week, that we can start seeing a little bit of going back to the basic fundamentals of the grain market rather than just the outside markets.
Speaking of the beans, the numbers did change this morning in them as well. Planted acreage now at 75.9 million acres. That's down from 77 million acres. Harvested at 74.4, down from 75.5. Remember, these are October 10 to today. Interestingly enough, I was reading in some press releases from USDA to farm broadcasters and others that are interested that they think that the numbers that they had previous to the October 10th were correct, and it's only that report that was
skewed.
I was going to say tampered with, but skewed is probably a better a better word, because we don't know really what happened. But it's an interesting conundrum that they're in at this point, and I suppose you and I will get to watch that and talk about it as it develops over time, and I would think that that'll be the talk of the town.
Well, the one thing, and one of the things we read on news wires all through the day was, how do we confidently trade the USDA's numbers from here on in if they made this big an error? Admit it. I think they did the right thing by coming out and admitting it as soon as possible. I just wish that as they did it, they would have give us, announced it yesterday morning, so we would have had all yesterday's trade to assess it, get ready for the report, and then have the report this morning. So we would fault the government on the way that they announced it and brought it out late in the day like that.
We'll leave you with that fault. How about that, okay?
All right.
Thanks much. Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of WILL. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of this program and Commodity Week. You can hear both of them on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Here's what the latest is from the USDA's crop weather and conditions reports released yesterday afternoon. As of Sunday, 96% of the corn crop around the nation had matured. That's 4 points behind last year and 3 points behind the five-year rolling average. Producers had harvested 39% of the crop nationwide, 31 points behind last year, 27 points behind the five-year average. Producers in the Dakotas had harvested the least of their planted acreage, with 4 and 16% of the crop harvested in North Dakota and South Dakota, respectively. Harvest also falling behind in Illinois, Iowa, and Missouri. Condition of the corn crop, though, improving 2 points from the previous week, now reaching 64% good to excellent. Soybeans, producers have harvested 76% of the soybean crop nationwide, 5 points behind last year, 7 points behind the rolling five-year average. And in the winter wheat growing areas, planting of the crop has been completed on 84% of the acreage. That's 2 points behind last year and 4 points behind the rolling five-year average. Major planting activity evident in Illinois, Indiana, and Oregon, according to the USDA. 69% of the crop had emerged, 3 points ahead of last year, but the same as the five-year rolling average. The winter wheat crop now rated 65%. Good to excellent.
This is Brad Schwab reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending October 26th. The week started off sunny and dry. However, Friday ushered in widespread rainfall and below normal temperatures, bringing harvest activities to a screeching halt. Temperatures averaged nearly 3 degrees below normal for the week, and average rainfall accumulations totaled right at 1 inch for all crop reporting districts, which amounted to 0.4 inches above normal. So it should be no surprise that topsoil moisture supplies ended the week being reported as mostly adequate to surplus spanning the entire state. Taking a look at this week's crop progress statistics, corn harvest at 46% complete made only limited progress during the week due to the wet conditions, which resulted in there being only 4.3 days suitable for field work. Last year on this date, corn harvest had reached 94% complete, with 85% being the five-year average. For soybeans, harvest advanced by 13 percentage points to 76% complete, compared to last year's 94% and 89% for the five-year average. Soft red winter wheat seedings now stand at 78% complete, compared to 95% 1 year ago and 84% for the five-year average. 40% of the crop was reported emerged, trailing last year's 70% and the 56% five-year average. Overall, the recent wet conditions have ensured good germination, and the crop was rated in mostly good condition. And just an update on yield forecasts as of October 1, corn yields were estimated at 177 bushels per acre, just 3 bushels below the 2004 record, and soybean yields are forecast at 45 bushels, which was 5 bushels shy of the 2004 record of 50. With over 50% of the corn crop yet to be harvested, The November crop production report, to be released on the 10th, could potentially show an increase or decrease in projected yields. This has been Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Becky Summer of the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office, with the crop weather report for the week ending October 26, 2008. Little harvest progress was made due to heavy rains and cool conditions again this week. 1 to 3 inches of snow were reported in the southwest and central parts of the state. High winds late in the week ranged from 40 to 50 miles per hour with gusts of 60 miles per hour or more. Soybean harvest continues to be ahead of last year and is 82% complete. Overall, 3/4 of the corn rated good or excellent, which is below last year's crop rating at this time. Corn harvest is now 21% complete, almost 3 weeks behind the five-year average. Winter wheat conditions rate 79% good or excellent, and most has emerged, which is near last year and the average. Feedlots are very muddy with reduced weight gains noted. This is Becky Summer of the USDA NAS, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS, Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending October 26, 2008. Wet weather slowed harvest progress this past week. Rain throughout the week kept fields wet and allowed producers nearly 3.5 days for field work. Corn harvest advanced 11 percentage points, and soybean harvest advanced 9 percentage points. Sunflower and sugar beet harvests advanced 7 and 8 percentage points, respectively. The average temperature for the week was 43.4 degrees, a half a degree above normal. Statewide topsoil moisture supplies as of Friday, October 24th, were rated 1% very short, 8% short, 72% adequate, and 19% surplus. Statewide, there were on average 3.4 days suitable for field work during the week. As of Sunday, October 26th, 30% of the corn for grain was harvested, compared to 67% last year and 64% for the five-year average. Soybean harvest reached 92% complete, compared to 91% last year and 95% for the average. Sugar beet harvest was at 88% complete, compared to 92% last year and 96% for the average. As of Friday, October 24th, 69% of the corn was rated in good or excellent condition. 73% of the sunflowers and 38% of the pastures were rated in good or excellent condition. That's the weekly crop weather report for the week ending October 26, 2008.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
WILL programs are made possible by the iCorn.com Seeds of Knowledge Video Scholarship Contest. Farmers nominate students who make a 90-second video and compete for a share of $30,000 in college scholarships from iCorn.com. More information is available online at iCorn.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Mike Wolverton is here from K-State Extension, where he serves as an economist, and specializes in taking a look at the ethanol industry. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Hi, Todd. How are you today?
Oh, I'm very good on a surprising Tuesday morning. How'd you like the USDA reports this morning?
Well, that was interesting. I didn't expect that. Maybe some people in the trade did. But that changes the crop situation, the row crop situation, quite a bit.
Well, when you lose 1 million acres of corn, I guess it does. What do you think? How does it change it, and does it change it very dramatically? USDA seems to think it puts a nickel on corn.
Well, it puts us in kind of a tight situation on corn supplies now, and makes it even more important that corn price is high enough to bid acres into corn next spring. Today I've been looking at what might how this might affect the ethanol demand for corn.
Okay.
And it's been interesting. You know, people have been blaming the ethanol demand for corn for high food prices and everything else. And it has affected corn price. There was an estimate just this week that came out that said that without the ethanol demand for corn this year, price might be near $3 a bushel. That's probably changed a little bit now, but still we're concerned about the corn price situation and the economy, it looks like the economy is in decline. What's that going to do to ethanol demand for corn?
And your thought is?
Well, it looks like the ethanol demand for corn is going to be down a little bit. The USDA dropped their number from September to October. They were saying in October of 4 billion bushels of corn going into ethanol production. I have a projection of about 3.7 billion bushels. If you look at the 2008 mandate, it calls for 9 billion gallons of ethanol, which would be 3.2 billion bushels of corn. But we produced above mandate in the first part of the year. So I think it's going to be less than the 4 billion the USDA is projecting. Maybe my projection of 3.7 is too low. I don't know. But one thing we do know is that the demand for ethanol has dropped as the demand for gasoline has dropped.
Demand for ethanol dropping as demand for gasoline dropping. Will that have much of an impact, you think, on the price of corn?
It'll have some effect. I talked with some executives from grain companies and ethanol producers this week, and they're telling me that corn grind is down quite a bit right now as these ethanol producers are looking at some pretty weak profit margins. In fact, today's calculations showed them in the negative territory.
All right. Thanks much for joining us today, Mike.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mike Wolverton is with K-State, where he serves as an extension agricultural economist and grain specialist, helping us on this Tuesday afternoon to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural energy and ethanol producers in particular. In just 2 minutes, Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, will join us here on the Closing Market Report.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. A University of Illinois gymnastics coach who quit this month is facing a drunk driving charge, and his attorney says that was a factor in his resignation. Prosecutors in Waukesha County, Wisconsin, say assistant men's coach John Valdez pleaded not guilty after his arrest September 18th. His attorney, Lance Northcutt, says Valdez resigned for personal reasons, including the arrest. Northcutt also says Valdez is cooperating with a university investigation of a hidden camera found in a locker room on the Urbana campus last month. U of I officials haven't said Valdez is linked to that investigation. Valdez couldn't be reached for comment today at his Urbana home or via his cell phone. Valdez has been an Illini coach since 2000. He's the personal coach for Olympic gymnast and fellow Illinois assistant Justin Spring. There's still no word of charges filed in the deaths of Oscar winner Jennifer Hudson's mother, brother, and nephew. The body of young Julian King was found yesterday in an SUV on Chicago's west side. Officials with the Cook County Medical Examiner's Office scheduled an autopsy for today. Champaign school board members have decided to remove a controversial book from a summer reading course. A parent complained that the book The Kite Runner by Khaled Hosseini contains a rape scene that's inappropriate for 14- and 15-year-old readers. The teacher who assigned the book says the book is about its characters and not about the rape. Federal prosecutors say they'll monitor next week's election in Chicago and the suburbs, and they've set up a hotline to take complaints. Monitoring elections in Chicago to prevent or at least investigate ballot access or other problems is a tradition in the U.S. Attorney's Office. Attorney Patrick Fitzgerald says no one who's entitled to vote should be inhibited from doing so, and no one not entitled to vote should corrupt the election. There's a new historical marker in Urbana at the site where a well-known photograph of Abraham Lincoln was taken. The site of the one-time photography studio is the latest in a series of Looking for Lincoln monuments across Illinois. It was unveiled today at Main and Race. The head of the organization placing the markers says they tell small parts of Lincoln's overall history. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Public Radio on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. We're joined now to take a look at the agricultural weather by Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Beautiful skies across, I guess, the nation at this point. It's really gorgeous out there today.
Yeah, the exception is the far northeast United States, where they're getting some very cold and rainy and snowy weather. But as you mentioned, just about everywhere else, from the Great Lakes, to the Midwest, and the Corn Belt, all the way to the California coast, to the Mexico border, to the Canadian border, there's a big ridge of high pressure that's overhead, and it's going to make for some very nice autumn weather. Actually, for late October, heading into early November, very nice conditions.
Yeah, will we get what is considered an Indian summer?
This is it. Certainly is looking that way. Towards the middle to the end of next week, we're going to start to see some colder air and some unsettled weather cut loose out of the Gulf of Alaska, the North Pacific, the Yukon area. And that is going to lead to, right after or shortly after Election Day, a trend towards most of the country that's going to get more active, colder, and a little bit more wet. But up until then, as you just mentioned, it's an Indian summer weather pattern. It's textbook.
Oh, man, after Election Day, things freeze up on us. How doesn't that figure? And Yukon doesn't sound good. How cold are we talking?
Well, it's pretty cold up there and pretty wet up there. Right now, I would certainly say that nighttime freezing temperatures will return late next week.
If you turn your attention to South America now, what kind of weather conditions are they having for the beginning of their growing season?
Well, moisture has been best and is expected to be best in the central and southern growing areas of Brazil, the central and northern growing areas of Argentina. Rainfall amounts are expected to be near normal. Now, they have been a little colder than normal for the start of the growing season, and across portions of Argentina, it's still a little cooler than normal. So the heat they're not building yet as they change their season, still a little bit on the cool side.
A little cooler than normal means what kind of temps are they suffering through, I suppose?
Well, they're averaging around 5 to 10 degrees below normal. So you're looking at daytime highs that are getting into the 70s instead of the 80s.
And then turn your attention to Australia as they get ready for their winter wheat crop.
Well, they have been a little bit like South America. They have been a little bit cooler than normal, and there's been some shower activity. There has been some precipitation in Australia, especially in the southern and western areas.
Any place else we ought to check in on before I let you go for the day?
Enjoy this nice autumn weather while we've got it, because as we know, old man winter can't be far away.
Indeed. Thanks much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Well, that wraps up this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Be safe out there. Remember, November's just around the corner, and I know you haven't harvested during that month for a very long time. It's not that big a deal. Farmers have done it for decades. So be safe out there. Don't push yourself that hard. And if you are, and I know you are, at least take 10 or 15 minutes every couple of hours to get out of the combine and get 8 hours of sleep at night. That little bit of rest will keep you safe and in the saddle and put a crop in the bin. It's a lot better than the alternative. So stay safe and have a safe harvest. Oh, and for those of you that are not farmers that are out and about looking at the crop or the trees, there are a lot of vehicles that are moving really slow out there. And some of those grain trucks, and certainly the tractors and wagons and the combines, don't have bumpers very low. You don't want to find the back end of one of those. If you do, you probably won't know about it for at least very long. So stay safe and have a good harvest season. I'm Todd Gleason.